The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Ronnie, he's Paul, and despite it being the 8th of January, Happy New Year to you. There should be a cut-off date for something like that. Who knows? Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, Arbroath and Morton Review, My Good, Bad and Ugly, Inverness Preview, The Rumour Mill, The Loan Report, Women's Team, Live Episode, Our A to Z of Dundee United, and On This Day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up on episode 224 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Waka waka wak, hey, Daniel Cujo, hey.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with the Willy Wonkid, Paul McNichol, and the tree-bagging Ronnie Costello. The Christmas tree bag has arrived, it has been packed, and in the hilarity of opening such bag, which is 9 foot tall, long, whatever, I come down the stairs to Claire Lang in it.
I would have zipped it up.
And then I thought,
stuck in the loft.
This is like the Undertaker casket matches back in the WWF days. And I thought, probably can't get away with that. 2023 DNA is a big thing. Probably find you pretty easily. So yeah, that was that's kind of the highlights of my week. It's been putting a tree away after last week, after the delight that it was. And you just went to see Willy Wonka.
Loved it, Rondo. Loved it. Amazing. You know, is that not your thing?
Why would it be?
I love a musical.
Did you pick it?
I think I might have.
So that means you were then dragged to see Priscilla.
No, I wanted to see that as well.
That's fucking nonsense.
I've got my limitless pass. Let us in. I was still on holiday last week, unlike the grafters of the nation. So I was cinema bound. 2 days on the bounce. Wonka, class. Priscilla, no bad.
So it wasn't very good.
No, it was all right. Well, it was nae Wonka. Let's be honest.
What was it, 90 minutes? Something like that? An hour and a half?
They were both on about 2 hours, I think.
Okay. So what was a better 2 hours? Was it
Wonka?
Your Friday at Odeon or your Saturday at Tannadice?
Wonka.
Willy Wonka. Unbelievable. Toadfoxpodcast.com if you want to listen back to some of the episodes. By the way, the shop will be open maybe next week because I've just not had time because we've got a live episode to plan, which is in 2 weeks' time, Paul. 2 weeks, pretty much, well, we're about an hour ahead of schedule. It's 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon right now. And a couple of weeks, who knows, they're all merging into one. We'll be doing the live episode. And I thought, being a mid-season review, kinda, it's going to be 21 games, obviously, instead of 18 at the time, given that we play Inverness on Friday, and it's a free week. Things have changed over the last 7, 10, maybe a couple of weeks. It's been an interesting couple of weeks over the festive period. Now, I think we've said this before, right? But I actually don't remember ever being very good at the Christmas break. And I also don't remember United being very good post-split anytime. No, just the shite we watched in May. I mean, in general.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been a couple of occasions, but it does seem that it takes a bit of a downward turn for whatever reason. Traditionally, it's a shite tradition.
Exactly.
Finger out, lads.
I know, it's crazy. Do you know, Tuesday this week is the 1 year anniversary of the flowing locks being clipped.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you've never looked back?
Never looked back. I've never looked as ruggedly handsome.
Well, I mean, it's not something I've ever said to you. Well, I said that to you. The man in the mirror.
Abdi, really. But one thing about this, and I don't know how many times you've mentioned it, but from that day, you still have something. You have a bag of my hair.
It's still kicking about my house somewhere.
Which is...
I'm going to clone you.
A, it's weird.
It's definitely
and
weird.
And B, it's bound to be worth money.
Well, it was worth over $2,000 last year, was it?
It was indeed.
Top stuff for you.
That's, we're a year on Tuesday, yeah. So no doubt we'll reshare the photo of the before and after. But
and the video, the time lapse video.
The video, yeah. Because there was a photo that was one of these memory things that came up. I shared the day and our mate Markers got involved and just put, look at that. Gorgeous hair, I think is what he called it.
He'd raise some money if he was to brave a shave.
Or would you shave him?
He's a hairy man.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, so I stood next to him actually, Arbroath, on Tuesday, which we'll obviously get to. Let's go through the rumour mill first, because there's quite a few things, because then we've got two games to talk about in Inverness and all that kind of stuff. And it'll be our final A to Z.
It will be.
As well, to look back on. Lewis O'Donnell up first. Could be heading south, but Jim Goodwin said, nobody spoke to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing well with Kelty now.
Well, yeah, apparently so. From all the research that I've done on him this season, when he's been getting loads of game time as well, and he's been contributing, he's been one of their better players, I would say, from what I can see. But it would still be like a big leap, because Kelty are a League One side, to go down to a team like, I think it was Watford were one of them that were mentioned.
Yeah, maybe Watford, but Burnley, somebody Burnley, else. Maybe?
Yeah, possibly. So, like, who knows if there's any truth to it. There's a bit of me that would be extremely disappointed if something like that did happen, and then and I say that from the point of view of, as a fan, you want the youth academy to rear the next crop of players. You want them to go into the team. You want to see them play more than a couple of games, and then if they get close to fulfilling their potential, like, it's obvious. Like, we're United fans, we kind of ken there's bigger teams out there. And then usually somebody would get snapped up and go down south or go to a bigger team. But when you start bringing through boys for the youth academy, punt them out on loan, the fans never get to see them, and then they get shifted on. It's quite frustrating. Like, that's no what I want the youth academy to be. However, it's maybe a case that the young lad is out of contract in the summer. He's maybe intimated he's not going to sign another deal. I don't know. I'm not really sure of his situation, his contract situation at all. And I don't know the finances of the club. Like, Mr. Ogren has clearly stated many, many times that he's here to make money. I think he's trying to get rid of the club. I don't think that would surprise anybody. And he's maybe just trying to get some cash in before he goes. Who knows? Like, it's all speculation, and it's all just my opinion. I'm not saying any of that's right, I'm not saying any of it's wrong, but if he was to leave the club before actually making any sort of impact in the first team, I'd be fairly disappointed with that.
One question I will raise, and it's purely one I've just thought of there, it's not like a pre-planned thing, because Lewis O'Donnell's not made a top team appearance. Who would be the last player that left for a club like that? No, just a young boy getting released and joining somebody, but going there, you playing a game. Because obviously, Kerr Smith had played.
Yeah. Scott Banks played four.
He'd played.
Scott Allen.
I'm going to say Kieran Freeman.
Kieran Freeman went to Southampton, yeah, as a Bairn, 15-year-old.
But that's a disappointment, because when teams like that get linked, you think, well, he's clearly must have something going on, you know, that we've not seen. But Kelty seem to obviously be doing that, and it's a loan that... One of these loans that,
but if he is of that standard that other teams are looking at him and thinking he'd maybe do a job for us. You know, I don't think anybody for a second, if it is Burnley that are one of the teams, nobody's thinking, oh, he'll go straight into their team. Clearly, no. Like Kerr Smith, I don't know how close he is to the Aston Villa. Well, he's no, because he's now in Perth, but he's been given a new contract.
Nobody wants to be there.
Nobody, perfect, Mr. Levine. But he's been given a new contract from Villa, so they must have some sort of hopes for him. But if teams like that are looking at somebody that we've got on loan at a League One side and thinking that he can maybe do something for them, then another question you could pose is, well, how are we not using him? Like, why is he at a League One side? Mm-hmm. If they're down there in that big league full of money and they're looking at him and thinking, oh, he's got something about him, we could maybe do it. Is it because they've got that much money? It's no even a gamble to them. If it doesn't work out, so what? Doesn't work out. Just another player. It doesn't really cost them anything in the grand scheme of things. Whereas to us, it would be a big deal. So I'd be surprised if he goes for United Academy to a League One team on loan, doing an English Premiership team, but it is the world of football, so
I think the big
shouldn't
thing
be
is,
overly
though,
surprised.
If he's going there, he, like you said, it's not going in the top
no
team.
Chance.
But if he comes back here, does he even play? And I suppose that's the ponder that we've got and stuff, you know. Or do you, I mean, at the end of the day, for what I believe, his contract's up in May, as a lot of them are.
Okay, so it might be that he's he's intimated he's no.
Maybe.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then of what can you do? You're the club's hands are tight.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But without knowing all the ins and outs, then that's how you get boys like me speculating on, well, what about this? What about that? It would ultimately, no matter what the situation is, it will be disappointing if he is highly thought of and he just walks out the door. Whether it be for a fee or whether it be he's out of contract, it will be disappointing.
And what people have just found out there is that Paul doesn't actually go and watch the players that are on loan, just reads about them.
Correct. On Twitter.
One thing that we were told through various ways is 100% this is happening. Simon Murray be joining United, blah de blah, it's all done. Well, it's now the 7th of January and I didn't see him.
No.
And apparently Ross County are now playing the hardball of, right, checkbook.
Get a hold of it. Again, who knows? Because you probably heard for certain people, I heard, like, oh, it's a done deal. Like, it's a cert, it's happening. As soon as you finished singing Auld Lang Syne, Murray will have a scarf above his head. And it's, as you say, we're a week into the new year and it's no happened. And you're also hearing rumours now that, well, his agents, because I think people can, that he's needing back to this area. Like, there's obviously more than just United in this area. So the rumour is that his agent's trying to get in touch with Dundee or St Johnston to see what the best deal. And I suppose that's the job of the agent, but it's, as a United fan, like, you just want to ken one way or the other, don't you? Like, if he's going to come in, get him in. If he's no, then move on. Can get somebody else.
Yeah. I think on that as well, there's obviously...
Wouldn't it be pertinent with cash, though, personally?
So, he's under contract 2025, right? So he's got 18 months on his deal.
And they probably paid for him. Right.
Oh, they did.
A year ago, right? Yeah.
So, there's a lot of rumours that they're looking for 100 grand, 150 grand. Let's just call it 125. Right? Let's call it down the middle, right? For a permanent deal. But for what I'm led to believe, Faye, again, three sources have told me similar, right? So, there must be a bit of truth in it. I'm not saying the numbers are going to be true. But say for high, total example, and again, we'll just take a stab, that they're saying, right, to tap him on loan to the summer, plus a promotion guarantee or a bonus or whatever, say it's 40 grand.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, 40 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we spoke a lot about last January.
There's something similar with Declan Gallagher, though. Like, we got him for free, but if United get promoted,
yes,
I think you're due St Mirren a fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's nominal. I don't think, we're not talking six figures here, but.
No.
I still think that those deals are, I mean, somebody said on Twitter, why would Ross County loan them to us? But we're in a different league, so it doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. It's if the other two teams close to here got involved, why would they loan them to them? I totally get. But they are well within the right to obviously say, well, he's playing for us just now. New manager's come in, bloody blah, he'll understand or he'll know the situation, but they need to get a bit of money. So my question again to you, because this is effectively mastermind, is if it's going to cost 40 grand, including a promotional bonus and whatever, are you paying the money? You're writing the cheque. Now, I would look at his previous championship record with Queen's Park and go, yes, I will.
Yeah, can he be the difference maker? Can he get you over the line?
Or can you do a deal based on if you do get promoted, there's an obligation to buy for whatever?
Yeah, I'd rather that we weren't parting with Dosh. I don't think we've got Dosh to part with, to be honest with you. So that might be a deal breaker for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are on about, if Mr. Ogren's looking to get his money back, he's going to spend some more. Well, I don't think he's going to get his money back.
No.
Like, it's no,
I mean, happening. We might come to something the second of the rumour mill.
It is. Like, if Mr. Ogren is apparently looking for X amount of millions to get his money back that he has put into Dundee United, nobody is going to give him what he has put in to get that club off his hand. It's no happening. It's simply no happening. I don't know how else to state it. It's no happening. So, on the back of that, I'm thinking, why would he then want to go and hand more cash over? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make much sense.
But Is he in a better situation if we're a Premiership club?
Oh, well, that makes sense, yeah. But I still didn't think. Like, just for example, just say he's looking for 10 million, because people always say, he's put in like 8 figures. So say he's looking for 10 million. Nobody's buying United for 10 million, Rondo.
No
matter what league they're in, it's no happening.
I'm about 9.99 short to give him that.
even if I bunch with you, we're struggling. It's just, I think it would, of course his hand is better placed in a business deal if United are in the top flight. Of course it is. Of course it is, because there's more money comes in, there's more income stream, there's the TV deal, but...
And at the end of the day, you've got to think, like, we have to get out of this league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, listen, before we even get to, like, yesterday and everything, I mean, I still believe we'll win the league. I still believe we'll win the league. It might not be pretty, and it might not be as exciting as some of their scorelines.
And it'll not be by January.
Right? As Paul thought. But I still think when you're looking at it now, again, we're at the injuries, we'll get to that. We already knew there has to be reinforcement. And they've said there will be, like, so the other rumour that we'll just throw in, right? There's been no denial for Jim Goodwin on David Witherspoon. Do you quickly want to add what you just tell me before we come on?
Well, Big Dunk was on the radio last night after their sides won down at Ayr. And just reading between the lines, it sounds like he's kind of expecting to lose Witherspoon. Now, obviously, there was no teams mentioned as to who he would likely lose him to, but like he was basically saying, look, he's been our best player this season. There's a deal on the table for him. He knows that we want him. He knows we want him to stay, and that deal will stay on the table until such time as like he's no here or it's signed. But he is worried, like Ferguson was worried, that the deal's been there for a number of weeks now and it's still no signed. So that's maybe one to watch. Who knows what'll happen there.
So again, on the back of that, he's not going to play for free here.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and we'll be hypothetical here, but say that is costing £1,500 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Purely an estimate, right? Between now and the end of the season, 5 months, £6,000 a month, it's £30,000.
Yeah.
On wages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, if you say then Simon Murray comes in, and let's just again hypothetically throw £1,500 at it again, mm-hmm. then there's money. There has to be money obviously put in there for it. And I think now, again, especially with injuries, it kind of shows we do need a bit of help. And we've said it a million times, like, experienced players are not coming here to sit on the bench, right? It's not going to happen. And what are. You might get boys, and like some of the teams have got boys that are sitting at 34, 35 that have been around the block or sit on the bench, but when you're a team that wants to win this league and get it won early, or as early as you can.
Yeah, it's not in our interests for that. It might be in the boys' interests
yeah.
to come here and tat an easy wage and sit on a bench, but it's no in United's no. interests to hey boys like that.
So, I mean, there's like, the Witherspoon obviously is free. There's a lot of talk with the Simon Murray one. Again, I mean, I was dealt like, you know, it was a done deal, as you probably were. I probably mm-hmm. wasn't expecting as quick as Auld Lang Syne being finished, but I kind of thought, full time at the Arbroath game. Well, by the way, here's an extra
wheel amount.
I mean, but the thing is, as well, I was looking back at it because again, I knew people were coming up saying, no, can I would prefer this type of player, or he's not good enough, or the record, and his championship record for Queen's Park's best. His record was in the championship was good.
Yeah.
But his record with Queen's Park was really good.
The thing is, like you mentioned, that he still gets a game every game for
every
them.
Week, yeah.
And he starts. It's not like he's coming off the bench for 10 minutes. I want to say he's like a mainstay. Like it's him and that big daft lump up front, is it? So
I need to speak about a big daft lump in a minute.
Oh, we will. But I could understand why, from Ross County's point of view, they'll be wanting,
of course,
like some dosh recouped, because they'll be thinking, okay, like I can, even if it's compassionate grounds that he's wanting to leave, it's not because he's unhappy up there. It's just like it's his personal situation. But they are well within their rights to look for at least what they got paid. At least what they paid out for him a year ago. So, yeah, who knows what's going to happen with that. I think it'll...
You'd be happy with those two?
I wouldn't be unhappy if they came in, yeah. But again, and it's no me that's pieing the dosh, so I really shouldn't care, but just for the club's point of view, I'd be surprised if we were throwing any sort of money about to bring anybody in.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Last night, we were leading... the chase for the Queen's Park skipper, Dom Thomas, along with Raith and Patrick. But according to the same publication this morning, no, we're not.
Good. Good. Yeah.
I saw it last night. I got it sent to me last night. And I was massively against it because I was like, all right, okay, it's another winger, a bit of competition. But the mere thought about them, I was thinking, do we really need a winger? Is it a position? Forget the actual player. It was mere the position. But then see when you do look at it, we've effectively got three wingers for two positions. Like, and that's where, again, they're going to then get into this conversation of the competition element, you know, in the championship. I'm not sure you need 12 players for every position. I think that's a real luxury if you've got that, given some teams go only put four or five on the bench. You know what I mean?
Or two, or in Arbroath's case.
Aye, then stick goalies on a score worldies. But, I didn't think it was I thought it was a surprise given...
Yeah.
You might be looking elsewhere, but yeah, apparently we're now knowing
good
the gist. Yeah, for them anyway.
I wasn't sold on that
somebody
idea.
Somebody else actually texted me this morning and said, I wouldn't have him, but I'd have the boy Peyton. That's a striker, eh?
Yeah, he's a goal scorer. He's a goal scorer. He missed a sitter against us. But I didn't care much about him other than his record. He's scoring records, not that bad. But yeah, from the three, Simon Murray, I'd probably take him. Witherspoon, it's just the drawback on him.
He's been their best player.
He has been their best player this season. He's injury prone. That's the one thing. And he's old. He's about as old as you. But if it's a short term fix to try and get where we want to be, then by all means. But Dom Thomas, I wasn't sold on that idea. So no doubt we'll sign him. Come Wednesday or something.
And one thing that we mentioned a few weeks ago is Matthew Benham, the owner of Brentford, buying a stake in United. This seems to have, depending on what group chat you're in, depending on what websites you go on, depending on what Twitter feed you follow, that's been jumping about. Again, I mean, he owns Michelin as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a stake. Is it extra money for Mark Ogren just in his back hipper, or does it go in the club to help the club? Who knows?
Yeah. I just find it bizarre. I don't know, unless there's an emotional attachment, which I think we touched on a few weeks back when we mentioned this, because he had a wee soft spot for United back in, in the glory
any
days.
Any billionaires can have soft spots for United.
Of course, but if you take that out of it, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why would he bother himself handing money over into the black hole that loses money that is Scottish football? It's one that we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, that'll probably not be time dependent, like, as much as getting players in is, because we've got only 1 month to do that. So
things like this will take ages anyway.
Usually, yeah. But it's maybe one to watch. Who knows?
Start of the year off doing a Gayfield.
We did, yeah. We a cold pair or two.
Nah.
It was cold, so it's not the best. Of course, it got scranned before you asked. Did you scran it? Mm-hmm.
But you weren't happy, were you?
And then I think I sent you the picture of my view. I was sat directly behind
the best
pole.
Thing about it, Abdi jumped on you on Twitter and went, oh, now you can what it feels like.
That's what the view is behind you.
Ruined you.
Yeah. I did see the funny side in that. That was very valid points good. That were made, yes.
I was like, you're the boy that stands in front of me, gig. Get it right up, yeah.
But there was a few sympathetic people that were like, oh, did you go and complain? I was like, nah. I said, as long as I was able to sway from side to side, I was able to see everything that I needed to see. But I just thought that's good. £20 to sit behind a pole. Class.
Quite a lot of me on that for things that involve poles, but I'm not getting into that. It was the best pie I've had down there, but I'm not saying that was good.
No, it was
lukewarm.
They were cold, they were cold. We got in early doors. We got in about 2 o'clock. So I don't know if it was a case of they had just put them in the oven and then the oven.
I don't know the oven had been on.
Nah, probably no. Probably no. So I suppose I should be thankful it wasn't a frozen pie. I didn't hate a souk the pie. But it wasn't a good rondo. That wasn't a good.
Wow. Anyway, for that revelation, job done, professional performance, couple of goals, shot it. It's all right, wasn't it?
It was
cold.
It was cold. Like it was what
about the Har?
Yeah.
I thought the game was going to get called off at one point.
No chance.
I could. It's not the worst time. I couldn't even see you.
No, that's because of the fucking bowling. No,
correct.
Not a day with the Har.
But I was getting a wee bit of like that. But I thought we were
we were all right. Like I thought Arbroath made it. In fairness to them, like they made it very difficult for us because when we showed up, I fully expected to win the game. Of course, I did because we had just dealt with Partick fairly handily. The rumour before the game, like for a couple of days, was that Arbroath are trying to get the game off because they've hardly got any players. Yeah. And then we show up and they've only got two outfield subbies and
the goalie,
the Scottish Robert Lewandowski on the bench as well, with a pair of gloves on. So, yeah, I fully expected us to win. And I mean, it was, I suppose when you look at it, it was fairly comfortable in the end, but they definitely made us work for it. But yeah, 3-0, can't really complain, can you? Like we've played them three times now. We should be beating Arbroath Rondo, and it's no wanting to sound disrespectful, but we should be beating them. What we've scored 13 goals, no conceded any. That's the way it should be, in my opinion.
I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Arbroath because, like I say, I've worked there for a long time as well. But they've always been. I mean, when they first come up, I mean, mind the story when they got into that league and they were, you know, the only like part-time team in the league and the best performing part-time team in the country and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they were buyer territory for getting promoted one year as well.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of liked, and obviously the way it went this season, Jim McIntyre's come in, Agent McIntyre to us, of course. And you're thinking, there's a new manager bounced due someplace and he's went a wee bit up and down. But I think for speaking to a couple of Arbroath fans, they've said, we're actually doing all right. So we're kind of winning the games.
No, and plus, injuries are killing them.
They are. I mean, they were saying that as well. And even against United, it's like, Ken, if the boy scores that chance when he puts a right of Walton, you might get a bit of a different. But we sort of come into that. The poll probably got in your way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's speak about the Sakatatis. The boy Devon.
Yeah, no, I saw that. It was
horrific.
It was a definite dive. And for once, the referee done his job. Done his job right. Booked him straight away.
The thing is as well, it's not even like Gallagher's doesn't even go near him.
He makes it apart. And the way his body is, he makes it apart. Mental. He's no touched him.
Absolutely mental.
But players don't care. Like even at the highest end of football, like if you're watching a game of football in a Champions League or something with somebody that doesn't really care much about football and you explain it to them, they're like, well, if are they cameras are there, what are they cheating for? Because they didn't fucking care. Because in that moment they might win a penalty. And you've seen even when the games got VAR overseeing it, like wrong decisions are still made every bloody week. So
have you seen
that's all boys cheat.
You've probably no seen it. Like I got it sent to me. Can the boy that's just signed for the Erstcheek, Portuguese boy, the 40 million boy for Wolves, signed him on loan.
Yeah.
Right? He posted a highlights package of his debut on like his Instagram or whatever, including the clip of him, Devon, to win a free kick.
Yeah.
It's never a free kick.
It's a cultural thing with Rondo. Honestly, see in Scotland, Diego Maradona, right? We're going right back. Diego Maradona, we love it because he fucking cheated. He cheated. England got put out of the World Cup.
Be cheated if it hits your head, it's not
greatest goal anybody this side of the fucking border has ever seen. Down south, they hate them, hate figure. We were in Argentina, it was clever. Like, the culturally, they're like, oh, well, okay, he might have cheated, but like, he was just clever.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought you were right, an Argentinian accent.
No,
I should have
spoke to Augustine about this.
I thought we were about to get cancelled episode went out.
No, no, I'm not gonna appropriate anybody's culture nor language. But it's just a cultural thing. These guys from different areas of the world
to London,
they didn't view it as cheating, whereas we do.
That's horrendous. Horrendous. The goal, Tony Watton, selfish.
He was, and it was. I thought it was poor defending, though.
It was great. Tries to clear it.
He does, but Christ knows what he was doing. If somebody whipped the rug away off of his feet that nobody seen.
It's like a cartoon, wasn't it?
Because Tony Watt, obviously, he'd scored a hat trick the previous game, and it's a great ball. Is it Sybil or Kai? Somebody puts the ball into Tony Watt.
I think it's Sybil, actually.
And I was expecting him just to smash it.
Same.
But he does now. He picks out his teammate was choking for a goal. Well, loves a goal against Arbroath. But the defender should have cut out. Like, he should have. But he didn't. It's on a plate for Louis Moult, and he sticks it home.
Yes.
Gratefully.
Second goal, because of where I was on the opposite side view, pretty much in line with the 18-yard line of the that goal. And I didn't appreciate the time, and it was only when I seen the goal back of Kevin Holt's challenge.
Brilliant.
And the ball.
Brilliant.
Like, it didn't really, because it was in of them, I couldn't quite see what it was.
Yeah.
And I made a really bad call at the time, right? And I didn't live it down for the rest of the game. And I can't mind, Andy McCarron was having a right go at us for it as well. But Buck comes through the middle of the night and he sticks it in. And I thought, and I said after that, I'm not sure he meant that. I think he meant to put it around him and then put it in. And I didn't really love it doing for the rest of the game.
No chance.
And then when I watched the back, I was like, nah, he definitely meant that.
Yep. And that's how you should always rewatch things. Because in the moment, you get it wrong. But no, it was a brilliant ball for Kevin Holt. But it's quite funny. Like, we will get to it when we go on about the Morton game. But some of the criticism for our gaffer about Morton's tactics, well, they just launched the bus 70 yards up and they got a goal for it. Glenn Middleton's goal against Arbroath. Arbroath could very well say the same thing.
I think I'm right in saying this, but again, this is the Dode Fox podcast, so we deal in Dode Fox facts and not sometimes actual facts. I am sure Jim Goodwin said in his post-match,
he said they play a high line.
So that's why they started doing that.
But you could dress up any way you want. I thought it was brilliant for Holt.
Yeah.
But if you're the opposition, you could say, oh, it's fucking long butt. Long butt. It doesn't matter if it's a long butt. It doesn't matter if it's a short butt. No. It was effective. It was a great butt. It was right on a plate. I actually thought when it was happening, I thought, it's just going to be a wee bit too much. Gaston's not going to, he's going to get there first. But fair play to Middleton. He outpaced him, which shouldn't be that difficult. And he stuck at him, even though you thought he was trying to round the keeper.
He did, honestly. So it was right in front of us as well. Yeah, and
blame the heart.
Because Martin had maybe had one or two venoms, he kept the whole game, he wouldn't have called him Glenn or Middleton, he kept calling him Sweet Cheeks. Oh, Sweet Cheeks! That's how I held the whole time, eh? Honestly, unbelievable. And then the man that scored loves a goal against Arbroath decided, I'm going to hit another in.
Yep, and again it was on a plate, and again it was the sort of goal that I associate Louis Moult with, just being in that area where chances are, like, you're going to be where the bar is going to end up, and he couldn't miss. Like, let's be honest, it was a great bar. Was it Kai put on a plate? I can't even mind. But he couldn't miss. He couldn't miss, and it was 3-0 at that point. I actually thought, because it was two relatively quick goals after half time, and I thought we're just going to go and steamroller them now, but it just never happened.
And obviously as well, Declan Gallagher went off and Scott McMahon.
Yeah. Gallagher won. It's easy in hindsight to say, well, what did we play him for? But he's passed the fitness test, and he seems the sort of boy that will be choking to play. Like, I think he likes playing football, and not like some players. So it was unfortunate that he's re-injured that groin. Scott McMahon, he looked a wee bit, Sarah. I thought, yeah, I was calling. I was like, he's done his metatarsal there. And then
watching fourth, third, fifth.
Okay. And then we made him walk the other way around the park. I was like, that's not going to help his metatarsal injury. This is a disaster.
Dave Hill says to me yesterday that because it was right in front of the press box.
Yeah.
Like, again, I saw him go down, but again, when I watched the back, I thought, hey, it's a pretty naughty challenge, that. Like, I mean, he's got four stud marks in his leg, which obviously was going to render him needing to get an amputation before the game. And he walked out yesterday, not even a limp. But anyway, so he says it happened right in front. He says as soon as it happened, and he doesn't just reach for his foot. He's actually like head in the hand.
Yeah, I honestly thought he'd broke a foot or something.
That's what metatarsal, obviously.
Metatarsal, yeah.
But he said that. He says, I can't believe I've just seen his name on the team sheet.
Yeah. No, I thought he'd have been out. Yeah. I was surprised. Yeah. But it's a bonus that he's no.
I thought I was walking around to kind of beat the crowd out because I can get a wee bit congested getting out of Gayfield. And we're walking around behind the goal, but the young team are loving it. Kind of the drum was going and that was class. And then that's when Gaston had the save, which because of the angle, it was actually quite a good save. I mean, I think Glass just went to melt it. I half expected it in the car park, I'm not going to lie. But it was a good save for there. But yeah, job was done. 3 points.
Yeah.
Good way to start the new year. And like you say,
of course.
And
it was back to back clean sheets, back to back 3-0 wins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very much a case of job done, get back to the car and get the heating on.
So, which then led us into the game yesterday. But obviously, a lot of the chat was, how are we going to line up?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Abdi had this discussion with people.
Yeah.
About who's going to play where. Like, because obviously, thing we've no mention, like McMahon went off middle and went back to left back.
Yeah.
Sweet Cheeks went back to left back.
Yeah. So we weren't, boys weren't sure if they two would be out, because if they two were out, then it's obviously, that's half your defence.
And you're going, right, so if he's out but Gallagher makes it, do you put Holt out at left back? Do you then get a unique, a left and right centre half pairing, which would be great?
Yeah.
Or, you know, loads of, and again, this will probably come on in the preview as well, but you're then thinking for next week how they're going to like we are not yesterday. But it made that. And then when I saw just one change, it was like, I mean, Scotland One's made a
miraculous, Lazarus like recovery.
Just what was that, a plaster over his stud marks?
Yeah.
Can tweak his metatarsal back in a place. Can I believe what I was seeing yesterday? The team sheet.
I know. I'd
no surprise Gallagher missed it.
No, not really. But hopefully it's just for that one game. But we will get to that. But no, it was good to see McMahon back fit. I don't reckon he was fully fit, clearly. But yeah, it was good that it was only going to be one change in the defence. Because when you start passing about what's working, doesn't it sit great wee boys?
Morton, we're coming in. We've obviously had the dark arts before, the Cudjoe red card and all that shite. We knew what they were about, knew what they were going to be like. I'm not going to lie, for the most of the first half, I thought it was that big dumpling that we'd signed playing up front for them.
Your head.
Yeah, I don't know why, even though I didn't read his name, I thought it was him, but you're thinking, boy, Oakleigh, what have we really got to worry about today? Well.
Yeah.
How did it go for you?
I thought we were terrible yesterday. I really did. It's just defensively, everything that we've been this season, or in the main this season, like we just weren't yesterday. I thought the boy Oakleigh, he was fouling a lot, but with shirt pulls, and when I've watched it back the day, because at the time I'm seeing things through tangerine tinted glasses. And I'm seeing him pulling Ross Graham's shirt, or I'm seeing him pulling Kevin Holt. But when you watch it back, they're both at it.
Yeah,
they are both at it. And he's just won the battle. And for him to end up the game with 3 goals and 3 points, and he's hit there, then he's clearly won the battle. So, yeah, I didn't think that we started the game that great. Like, there wasn't much in it. Again, like a lot of games at this level, there wasn't much in it, but we didn't seem to have the intensity that we had in part against Partick Thistle a lot of the time. And then obviously you give them a 2-goal lead by about the 35th, 36th minute. Mm. And I was just fearing the worst. At that point I wasn't sure if it was just going to be one of the days where everything they hit is going to end up in the back of the net, or like, are we just not going to show up here? It was just really poor, really, really poor. And it's concerning. Again, like, we're missing Docherty. Like, we've missed Docherty for what seems like half the season. But a big loss is Declan Gallagher.
Yeah.
Because, like, we missed him against Falkirk in the Diddy Cup. That was the last. Now, and I know that Ross Graham and Kevin Holt have played together a few games at the start of the season. I think they played Peterhead, and I think they played whatever else was in our League Cup section. But they played together after when Declan Gallagher came in. He's been a mainstay, clearly, him and Holt, and it's worked. Like, they complement each other. Who knows who's the more leader in the pair, and I'm not sure, but what I've seen, I would hate, I'd probably think it's a Gallagher. But the last time that Holt and Graham played together was the Falkirk debacle through there in the Diddy Cup, and then they were there again yesterday together. And individually, I would say that they're probably good defenders, but when we've put them together laterally, it just hasn't worked. And that's I'm trying not to be nasty about it at all, but it's just like we've lost 7 goals in the 2 games that they two have been our central defensive pair.
Obviously, it was Ross Graham come on for Declan Gallagher on Tuesday and got a right dab in the bus as well.
Yeah. He done well on Tuesday when he came on.
Thought he did, yeah. So he was the one change. The first goal, Scott McMahon plays a really good ball to Tony Watt. He kind of gets two goes at it. Mm-hmm. Keeper comes out, gets a bit of it. Then he doesn't get him. Then he drops back to him, and then the keeper gets onto the ball, and you're thinking, right, okay, a wee bit lively.
Yeah.
Within about 10 seconds, a bar was in the back of our net.
Yeah, and it's a long ball up for the keeper. We done a deal with it. This time it was Ross. I think the guy, Oakley's, pulled onto Ross.
The thing is there, I mean, I think there's obviously a lot of, you know, centre-halves. It's like you mentioned, both of them are at it. But I think sometimes they get so calm. You see it corners a lot. They get so calm. They're not even watching the bar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like for the first goal, Oakley runs into Ross Graham. Mm-hmm. Like he's not looking really at the bar. He's just trying to position himself. And maybe 50% of the time you get a foul for that. But obviously we didn't get one yesterday. But there's still other things that then happen after that. Like the bar then goes out wide, and Grimshaw, he just doesn't stop many crosses coming in, I don't think. Like he's definitely got attributes that he brings to the team, but stopping crosses, no any of them. And the boy gets the cross in far too easy, and Holt just gets out jumped. Mm-hmm. He just gets out jumped. He gets beat in the air, and it's a great header for the boy. He's put it right in the corner. And I've kind of, we weren't getting battered for them, far, far from it, but I just felt like it was coming, like because the wee boy Crawford had been finding pockets of space. They'd had a few bars that they'd got down the sideline and cut back, just and there was nae takers in a blue and white jersey for them. So when they got the one goal lead, I thought, that does feel like it has been coming. It was a poor start because pretty much I was telling anybody that would listen, it's going to be a shitey game today. But the one thing we can't do is concede the first goal, because they will just then tack all the time in the world. And I didn't have an issue with them doing that. Like if teams do that, we've said it before, the referee's got to clamp down on that. But I didn't feel like they came just to defend, as I previously had thought. I thought that they did have a go at us. And they probably at that point merited being 1-0 up.
And then they were quickly 2-0 up.
They were, and it was even more of a disaster than the first goal. Like, obviously Jordan Tilson will get the blame because he was the last United player to touch the bar. He's too slack, too lackadaisical, whatever you want to say, when he's got the bar. He just tries to lay it off. I think he's trying to pass it to Kai. He doesn't look, though. And the boy, the left back, Strap, whatever his name is, he just touched the bar. He moves forward. He plays it into the box again, like nobody blocking it. And I've watched it back, and like I hate to give Oakley a wee bit more credit than I did at the time, because he clearly sticks his foot out and tries to get on it. But at the time, I thought
it was an own goal. First.
No, I kind of wasn't an own goal because of the angle I had, but I thought it's hit his toe and it's kind of spun and it's went in off the post. Like it was quite jammy. That's what I'm trying to say. It was quite jammy, but he does get across his defender. He gets there first, and he sticks it on target. Like that was all he was trying to do. And unluckily for us, it's ended up in the back of the net. Disaster. Let's not lose the first goal today, boys. Certainly, let's not lose the first two goals. So we gave them a two goal lead essentially.
Yeah,
but gave them a two goal lead.
Yeah, and that was 36 minutes in.
Yeah,
you're already thinking, oh no.
I didn't think we'd get back in that. And then what happened?
2 minutes later.
2 minutes later, yeah. Liam Grimshaw turns into a cracking winger, skins a boy, puts a ball on Kai's head, and Kai does what Kai does, and he leapt like a salmon and stuck it in the far corner of the net. So that gave a lifeline, and it was probably, again, there's no bad time to score, but it was probably quite a good time for us to score, because Miss fans were like 2-0 down, like this is nowhere day to day. But then so quickly to get back to 2-1, it kind of renewed your hope.
Okay, what? Hey, another in.
Well, hey, another in just before half time, and it was
similar.
It wasn't. It was probably the first time in about 20 years that we've actually done anything favoring and throw in. Yeah. We win the throw in. It gets. I can't mind if somebody threw it to Tony Watt. I think Grimshaw throws it to Tony Watt. He turns into a winger, he gets down the wing, he puts on a great
beats
bat.
Beats the boy. Beats
absolutely
the boy.
Great bat. Inch perfect, because it's just over the defender and it's on Louis Molt's head in the position where you want Louis Molt to be, and he tucks it home. And That way I turned around to Leo. I was like, I can't believe this. 2-0. I cannot believe we've scored 2 goals here, but you'll take it. And then that was basically all the action for the first half. But it was, it was a bizarre half. I didn't think we were good at all. I thought we were gifting them chances and goals. And then we still managed to be on level terms. So when half time came, to jump ahead of your question, how were you feeling at half time? I felt pretty good. I thought something'll change here. Like we've got Mochrie or Glass that can maybe come on and create something. We'll maybe bring any of these boys on later on because we're not really creating that much. And I thought we'll be all right here. I thought their arses would fit. And no. That's not the way it panned out.
Double change at half time.
It was a double change. One of them, not a surprise. I wasn't a surprise to see Tilson going off. I think majority of boys were surprised to see Molt going off and just assumed it was an injury. Because why else would you take him off when he's just scored and we're needing more goals? So
this is where when I see these things on the pitch, I should probably look at the clock for the timings and make a note of them, because I'd seen him stretch his hamstring umpteen times.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was early in the game, but Goodwin has come and he said the last 15 minutes or so he was stretching a bit more. I was convinced it was like right in the middle. He went, I can't mind what had happened. We'd maybe had a chance or the bad went out. It was like their goal kick, but my mind was watching him stretching his hamstrings an awful lot and you're thinking, I hope that's no... Okay, nothing was happening on the bench there, so he's obviously said he was all right. So maybe not totally surprised, but again, when the two of them, I mean, there's two, and it's obviously tactical as well, because we're trying to match up three in the midfield. Because I tell you what, one boy, right, the boy Wilson that plays for them.
The big lad.
I never noticed him. See, yesterday for about 20 minutes, he was the best player in that park, I thought, in the middle of that first half.
He was everywhere.
He's then, it took the bar, phase in half, got to near the edge of your box with any of your players practically being near him.
Yeah, but I would say that was mere day with us being absolutely Biff. Shite.
So, I probably wasn't surprised.
Sybil tried to clip his heels at the start of that move.
And then you're looking at a change in sort of the formation. He's went three into the midfield. And the second half didn't really do very much. And it's probably where we're going to get to watch. They try to become the star of the show. Was being the man in the middle, because it just got from bad to worst. And the main thing we need to speak about is the Kevin Holt incident.
Yeah, definitely. But like, to go back to the changes at half time, I felt certainly for the first 10-15 minutes of that second half, I thought it's just a matter of time. Because the changes at that point I thought were working. I thought they were struggling to get any breathing space at the back. Corner after corner, chance after chance, it felt like maybe
first 15-20 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe no gilt edge chances, but like we were certainly the team, because the bar was right in front of me half the time. We were definitely pressing them, but we just couldn't get that goal. And then like I thought certain players fell away with the game, like Glass and Mochrie. They may have made some sort of impression for the first 15-20. They then disappeared, I thought, for the latter part of the game. But yeah, that would be as well. But what do you want to speak about first, the penalty or the referee?
Penalty, because I'll fall into what's the referee, because at the end of the day, the winner's the last thing of the game.
Okay,
and
well,
sending off.
So the penalty comes for, well, we get a couple of corners. So the first corner comes out, I think somebody headers it down to Tony Watt, he tries to spin and somebody blocks it and it goes out for another corner. And at that corner, I was noticing the grappling, mainly for that arsehole Broadfoot. So when...
Were you thinking in Royal Rumbles come early?
Unbelievable. So when the next things want to come in, I thought, I'm just... Because if I stand up, nobody sees, right? We've already joked about it. I'm the Arbroath pole.
That's it for now on.
So I'm sitting down, but I'm not watching the... I didn't actually watch the boy tack in the corner. I just watched the box. So I was watching Broadfoot and Holt all the way. And Holt makes his run. And Broadfoot just grabs it. He just puts both arms around him. And Holt, to his credit, it's not like he's just collapsed himself. He still tries to get past him. The both fart of the ground, the bar's still coming in. Holt gets up and headers it in. Now, I'm not trying to, I wouldn't, I wouldn't sit here and say we should have had the goal, because I think the keeper stops because the referees blew the whistle or whatever. But in my opinion, and I've seen it back, and I've even posted it on my Twitter the day, Holt's one interest is the bar. He just wants to get on the end of the bar. Kirk Broadfoot's only interest is tacking Holt to the ground. No, even just a case of defensively stopping him getting, just tack him to the ground. The referee blows the whistle, and for a split second, I'm like, well, that's a penalty. And then, unbelievably, I still can't believe that he's I don't know what the referee saw to give it to Broadfoot.
I think he was looking. That's one of the first things I would say.
But then the linesman's got to help him out, Rondo.
Got to.
Because where it happened, there's no obstruction. For where the linesman's looking into that box, the linesman's got to see
Biff,
it. Biff shut it.
I hate saying it, right, because it sounds, honestly, and I'm not on about the sour grapes comment now, right? And I said this morning, I was out with Woman this morning for breakfast, and I said the same. I said, ultimately, three goals we're involved in, two of them have got to do way better. The second name we get the bar was. I says, so that's why we've lost, Dad. I says, but ultimately, I've witnessed possibly the worst refereeing performance in a long time. Both the linesmen, terrible as well.
Yeah.
The amount of guesswork that went on, right? Mm-hmm. So, you've got that incident there, right? And that's no one, right? He books Jordan Tilson
in the first half. Yeah, for winning the bar.
Jordan Tilson can't a day, nothing else.
He jumps up, he wins up. The bar. I think the boy maybe runs into his arm.
Does.
Book in. Yeah.
Booking.
It got to the stage in the game where it seemed like every foul was a booking. He's booked Mochrie. So Mochrie came on at halftime, 51st minute or something. He books Mochrie. And Mochrie is chasing back with a boy. He's just trying to nip the bar away from him. Doesn't get it. The boy goes down. Does he trip him? Probably. Is it a booking? No chance. No, in my opinion, it's not a booking. Declan Glass got booked. I would say that was a booking. Sybil's first. I think that is a booking. I think it's a booking.
Seconds.
The second day is not a booking.
He wins a bar.
But even if he doesn't win the bar, he's clearly just trying to win
the bar.
No, of course. There's no malice. There's no intent to get the boy. Anybody that kens anything about football, I know that ref. It's no a booking, Rondo.
Got another one.
Cujo's in the last, an injury time. It's a foul. Of course it's a foul. It's no a booking.
No.
As I say, it got to the stage where every foul was being punished with a yellow card.
And apart from, I mean, it took him 78 minutes to book the keeper.
Yeah.
For time waster, right? Because all he done was pointing his watch.
Yeah.
And in the first half,
he spoke played, to boys for time wasting.
The first half, he played 90 seconds.
Yeah.
There was four goals scored.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're half a minute a goal minimum. Plus how he stopped was he played 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? Even theirs, I mean, Wilson, Power and Strap got booked. It's either Power or Strap. One of them's a professional foul and I get it.
Power's on Glass.
I think the other two are like, meh, really?
Yeah. No, he was dreadful.
But there was boys, like the boy Katongo pulled, is it McMahon or Grimshaw? Pulled him back. Man.
Yeah.
He didn't speak to him.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a shambles.
It really was.
But he had the, it was Andrew telling me this, he had the Dundee Motherwell game, right? It was 3-3. This is before the game, by the way, because I said, I don't care much about him. Gave it 5 yellows and 1 red the day. And I thought, well, imagine he doubles that the day. He fucking nearly did.
Yeah. Well, that's another red he gave to Bowman.
Well,
I could only assume that it was for saying something to him. Or maybe, critiquing his performance.
Yeah, I think so.
As it was happening.
Yeah.
Let's say
I'm no getting, and we'll get to how we sum up the game and stuff, and I'm no saying it's because the referee lost the game, because it's no. But my word, that is easily now the worst.
He was piss poor. Yeah.
Terrible.
Like I think would I be right in saying that there's an assessor at every game?
I hope so.
Yeah. He surely can't get pass marks for that. He can't get pass marks for that. For that one incident alone. Like, if I'm his boss, I'm showing him the penalty incident and saying, right, why did you think that was a foul to the boy that was dragging the other boy to the ground? Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to know, but we didn't get these insights for referees. They just hunker down and hide.
I even found myself after the game, I mean, I'm glad you're sitting down for this, I was agreeing with Michael Shure Sports on Sportsound.
And what was Michael saying?
So Michael Shure said that in these...
I heard him. He's like, because Jim Goodwin gave his interview. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, Jim's on about VAR. He says, don't be leaving it to VAR, because even VAR gets things wrong.
But when he said about the appeal, yeah, the second yellow card.
For Sybil, yeah, you can't appeal it.
Nah, so we lose Sybil for Friday. It was a massive miss, obviously. Mm-hmm. He says when it's something like that, there has to be a...
Yeah.
But there's not perfect, but for something like that, that is clearly no yellow card.
Yeah.
Like, I say, I didn't even think it's a foul. And no. This is the thing, right? That when you, and again, it's another interpretation of, if somebody's creating a, or it's a, no, a goal, I'm probably using the wrong phrases, but I'll try and explain it as best I can. So it's not a goal, it's not a goal scoring opportunity. It must be an attacking phase of play or some shit. So if you pull a boy back, right, in a certain incident or a certain position on the pitch, it's a yellow card. If that happens in your own half, it might not be. But I get that. See, when you do it three times, you've got to get a book in. That didn't happen yesterday. Boy Katongo done it when he come on. Mm-hmm. The boy Oakley escaped with a yellow card yesterday, I've no idea.
Broadfoot.
Right? Broadfoot.
Went through the back.
Broadfoot especially. Went through the back of
Tory Watt about three times.
And that was another one, right? Now, I'm going to say, right, say that happened eight times yesterday at Tony Watt, right? A few of them.
He milks,
right? But they're still probably fouls. But two of them, he gets absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not even a speaking to.
What did get spoke to, though? Tony Watt. Because he was like that to the ref. He must have been saying, how many times? It's the same boy. And the ref was like, right, me or you? I'll hear a word with you about this.
I actually thought he was going to get booked because he'd done the old...
Yeah.
Kill, and he kept doing this as well, pointing his... I'm doing this, and nobody could see this.
Yeah, no, he was pointing to his wrist when the keeper had the bar. Yeah. Is that still a rule, that 6 seconds thing?
It's interpreted the way you are. What about when see where the keeper... what half is it? In the first half, when he had the bar... And he went down and started like stretching out, and you're like,
that was just before their goal.
You're an
that was, but when Tony Watt kind of landed on him a wee bit, but of course, like we knew they were going to do that. No issue with them doing that at all.
But absolutely, I mean, it's horrendous, like refereeing that it was. But you know, when you see a game, we've had in Middleton, Mockery, what have I had chances in the sort of second half, but the goal. It's a 70-yard punt up the pitch.
Like Kevin Holtz against Arbroath.
Which is done a deal with
it. Nah, like, obviously, it comes for the Sybil red card. They take a free kick. We kind of clear it. The bar then goes back to their keeper, who just, as you say, just humps it up the park. Oakley, at the time, I was convinced that he was fouling Holt because he was pulling his jersey, but if you actually watch it back, and if you're honest, they're both pulling each other's jerseys. He just out-muscles Holt. He gets the wrong side of him. Holt then tries to get his big long left leg in there. Kind of get near it, and the boy smashes it into the top corner.
Some panger.
Great finish. It's the first hat-trick of his career, which doesn't surprise me because he's honking. That's how he's at Morton. That's his level, I think. But we just shot ourselves in
perfect
the foot.
Perfect hat-trick, too.
Well, it wasn't perfect for me because it was against my team, so get it up, man. But... You hate to give the boy credit. Like he's took his goals very well. Mm-hmm. We've no help to ourselves at all. We've been poor pretty much all day. We've definitely standards that we've reached in the past. We didn't reach anything like the level that we needed to or have done in the past yesterday. It was just really disappointing. The defensively was more worrying. Like, and people always say, like, we've got a good first 11, but when guys are missing, like, you notice the difference. And we really noticed the difference yesterday. We've kind of got away without Doherty, because Tilson, who's the whipping boy, like, people just didn't like him. I thought he had a good game at Arbroath. I genuinely thought he had a good game at Arbroath. And to a point, he was all right yesterday.
And then he got booked.
And then he got booked. And then that tax, when he's on a booking, that his, he can't be aggressive. That's his whole game. Be aggressive. Close boys doing. Get wired in about them. And then he sells the jerseys for the second goal. So it was no surprise that he came off at half time. But just in general, like, there was, Even Sybald wasn't great yesterday. Like, I'm not saying he was rubbish, but normally you can bank on him being Mr. Consistency and putting in a certain level of performance. But we just never reached the heights yesterday at all. Anybody, we were just really poor. Did we deserve to lose the game? I suppose it doesn't matter. You've lost the game, but it's very hard to take away from the fact that at 2-2 we should have a penalty. Mm. And if we get a penalty, and if we score that penalty, and again, it's ifs, I don't think we're losing the game. Mm. If we go 3-2 up in that 69th minute after that penalty, I don't think we lose the game. I really don't. But that's just an opinion. I can't approve it. It means nothing, because ultimately, we did lose the game.
Yeah, I don't think we deserve to lose the game, but I'm far from saying we deserve to win it.
No, we probably didn't, because like over the piece, the 90 minutes, they came with a game plan. And it worked. It worked to a T, didn't it? Like, get a goal in front. They did. They got two in front. Part of their game plan wouldn't have been, but let's allow the other team back into the game so quickly, but keep it tight, be defensively sound, which they kind of were, and then hit them at the end. And it's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. So fair play to them. Piss poor for us. And with the results elsewhere that we've not even mentioned, it was probably doubly frustrating, because you can look at it two ways. You can look and think, right, we didn't lose any ground there. But by the same token, like, we didn't claw any back either. And we could have. Like, we could have, even if we had managed to sneak a draw yesterday, we could have clawed a wee bit back. So, yeah, the game in hand that we've now got against Morton, I don't think anybody's really looking forward to that. Like, we've only conceded 10 goals that season in the league. And four have been to Morton. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, yeah, it was really disappointing yesterday. Really, really disappointing.
Yeah, really frustrating, given that, you know, how it's been. And like you say, there's a real... So fragile with it. I mean, just no defend, no doing the basics.
Yeah.
You know, really, in terms of the basic defending. There's obviously a real concern right now. And I think we actually maybe mentioned this earlier in the season. Is our record at home compared to our away record?
Yeah.
I mean, we've only
half four games.
Yeah, yeah.
1-5 out of 10. Yeah, that
3 draws, 2 defeats.
That is
two defeats in the last three.
Yeah, and we've only, like, when you narrow it down further, like, we've took 1 point for two at him to Morton. We've only took 1 point for two games against Raith as well, which is our direct title rival. Yeah, it's the home record needs to improve. Like, we've kind of, I think me and you certainly expect that it's going to be quite tough at home, because we just assume that teams are going to come here and sit in and defend, because getting a point at Tannadice is probably a good point for most teams in this league. And even Raith, to a point in the first half of that game the other week, they kind of sat in. They weren't really offering anything going forward.
Never had a shot the first half.
They didn't have many over the piece either. Like, obviously a moment of magic's won them the game, but... Yeah, the home record's got to improve. I mean, that's for a number of reasons. Like, obviously, because it helps your position in the table, but that's where the majority of your fans see you playing. Like, at him, like, away crowds are brilliant. It's great following United away for him, but like, we're getting 7,000 people paying to come and watch you at him. Like, we're wanting wins. Yeah. Like, you're expecting wins in this league.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. So that's got to improve in the second half of the season. Has to.
We'll bundle in sort of the Inverness preview here, because all sort of working together on the back of that. I mean, they beat Ayr 3-1 away yesterday, Friday night, on the telly it is. But the selection headache, if you will, or solution that Jim Goodwin needs to find, given that we don't know how long Declan Gallagher's going to be out. We know Craig Sybil's going to be missing. We don't know if Ross Dalcrae will make it. And Louis Moult. It's an halfy spinier team missing there, if that's the case on Friday.
That is the spinier team. Because as much as we've given Kevin Holt all his due this season, like, I think that it's apparent to me anyway, or certainly it's my opinion, that he needs Declan Gallagher beside him to perform as well as he can, because when he's no beside him, like, things turn to shit in a hurry.
And the thing is, that might be the same with the flip. Like, if Holt's missing for Gallagher, like, they complement each other really well.
Yeah, possibly. Hopefully we don't find it. But yeah, there's certainly decisions to be made. I could see Grimshaw getting pushed into midfield.
Sheep in it, right back.
Possibly, yeah.
Played there last time in Inverness.
Yep.
So what would you be doing right now? If those panicking. Guys are missing.
Panicking. I would be trying to sign David Wotherspoon. I'm not going to say he's fit. No, I think...
The sheep in.
Too many managers overcomplicate it, so... I would go for the minimum amount of upheaval. So if somebody's out in midfield, okay, like put maybe Grimshaw there because he's kind of a holding midfielder.
Grimshaw and Tilson.
Probably, but I mean, that's... Like when you said it out loud there, Rondo, that fills me with...
Well, what I will say is you've still got an extra player to put in because Watt will play for Molt.
We're too open yesterday, second half when we had Mockery and Glass in that. We're too open.
Yeah. It's too big a gap.
Like when we're going forward, it's quite nice to watch and we'll create some chances, maybe not enough yesterday. But when the other team's got the bar, that's a worry. It's a worry. And it certainly was yesterday because usually this season, when the other team have had the bar, I'm no worried because I didn't see them doing that much because I think we're back line, we're keeper, and defensively in midfield, we're quite solid. But if you're taking Docherty and Sybil, then I don't think you can go with like Mockery and Glass and Tilson. I just dunno. I think that leaves us too open. And I'm not a fan of seeing two holding midfielders in this league, but it was noticeable when we didn't hate two at the second half of the second half yesterday. Mm. So I don't know. I could see him playing, bringing Sheep into right back, moving Grimshaw to where Sybald normally is. But that is far from a like for like replacement for Sybald. So it's slightly concerning. I still don't really care much about Inverness. Like, I know that there's not much between teams in the head-to-heads. Like, we scraped a 1-0 win up there when we were down to 10 men. We had a last-minute goal. And then it was probably quite a disappointing 1-1 down here when Witherspoon was quite good that day. There's no much in it. And the fact that we are not going to be at full strength is slightly concerning.
Man of the match versus Arbroath.
I gave it a Holt.
Kevin Holt?
I took a wee bit of exception of United actually tweeting out, what of these four players do you think's man of the match? And none of them were Kevin Holt. So I thought Holt was my man of the match.
You getting in for yesterday?
No.
Okay, it's fine. We'll just move on for that, shall we? You're good, bad and ugly to sum things up for with Paul. This could be interesting.
Well, we'll see. I think I just mainly focused on yesterday. I didn't even... Like, Arbroath was a distant memory by the time I got around to this. So the good was Raith lost. That's the only good. The bad, a massive missed opportunity. Raith have only won one game in their last four, and yet they're still 3 points behind them. Ugly, our defensive performance and also that referee. In plenty of games this season, we've looked completely assured at the back. Yesterday, however, diabolical. And that ref... Hopeless doesn't quite cut it. He let the boy Oakley away with imitating a wrestler all afternoon, although we should have done better. And then he sent off Sybil for next to nothing. And for some reason, he managed to form the opinion that Kevin Holt had fouled Kirk Broadfoot when Holt was grabbed and dragged to the ground. Due to the sheer volume of competition that we've seen over the duration of this podcast, though, Rondo, can I say that he's the worst that I've seen, but he's certainly up there. He was absolutely terrible.
19 games he has refereed this season. He's dished out 78 yellows and 5 red cards across the League Cup, League 2, League 1 and Scottish Cup Premier and Championship.
Why does he still have a job?
Unbelievable.
I didn't even think there was it was a dirty game.
Wasn't a bad foul in the Hill game.
And maybe that's my old fashioned thinking, like, because it used to be, it was a dirty game, there was X amount of book. Like, these days you can get booked for next to nothing, but 9 bookings in a red.
He dished out 8 yellow cards to Falkirk Celtic in December. Like, they're not too dirty. Well, Falkirk are not a dirty team. It's crazy.
Maybe like a derby-ish though, but it's just, he was piss poor yesterday. Like, I kind of go on anything before, but what we saw yesterday was diabolical.
Yes. Yeah. So, food for thought on the back of what we've seen yesterday. We need a massive reaction and some reinforcements. would be awfully nice as well. But anyway, let's have a bit of respite. What are our boys on loan getting up to? And is there any more news on MDLs on loan?
There's certainly somebody went out on loan, and obviously Rory's back. Would I be right in saying Muller-Thompson is also back?
He is back. Saw him on his track yesterday.
Right, okay. So we're clearly hoping that he...
He was on the bench yesterday.
Was he?
Nah, he wasn't. Nah, he was in his track, though.
Right, okay.
Rory was, sorry.
But we're hoping that he can do something when he comes back.
Mm.
So, big Rory Adams at Edinburgh City. Big Rory headed back out on loan, and this time it's to Edinburgh City. An absolute basket case of a club at present, and also certs for the drop. I'm not sure I get the thinking behind this move at all. No doubt Rory will get plenty of game time and also plenty of action, as he is joining a side that have conceded 54 goals in their 19 league games to date, but it's going to be a tough slog for him. As for his debut, he was away to Alloa and things were going relatively well up until the 89th minute. At that stage, the match was level at 1-1, but a wicked deflection would give Alloa a last-minute lead, and then in injury time, they would add a third to make it a 3-1 defeat for Rory on his debut. Leighton Bisland at Falkirk. Leighton was sat on the bench for 93 minutes on Saturday as Queen of the South visited the Falkirk Stadium. His Falkirk side would yet again win, this time with a goal from Aidan Nesbitt, but Leighton would only get on to help run down the clock. Craig Moore at Brechin. Craig certainly wasn't a part of the Brechin matchday squad, and if I'm being honest, that may be due to his loan spell being over. Or an injury. Or he's been abducted by aliens, like Wakans. I can it was a very short-term loan, but he was nothing to do with our team yesterday. Logan Chalmers at Ayr United. Logan played the full 90 minutes yesterday as Big Dunk's Inverness side dragged their arses all the way down to Ayrshire. Ayr's piss-poor form would continue, however, as the Highlanders returned home with all 3 points, courtesy of a 3-1 win. Logan, for his part, was one of his side's better performers on the day and did score Ayr's consolation goal. Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. It was another week and another 90 minutes for Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. This week he was up in Graniteland as he came face-to-face with the Ginger James Bond and his Cove Rangers. Kelty would have to make do with a share of the spoils on the day, a decent result for them in fairness, as they had to come back from 2 goals down, and Lewis has grabbed an assist for the equaliser. Brian Mwangi at Spartans. Young Brian wasn't in the matchday squad for Spartans' trip up to Peterhead on Saturday, and I hope to fuck he's had that loan spell cancelled. The women's team. Today, as we are recording this, the ladies are heading up the A90 to play Dice Women in the Scottish Cup. There are likely to be a couple of debuts in the match, as the new keeper that I mentioned a few weeks back was signed this week. Her name is Ailey Tebbit, and although she doesn't have a chance of being nearly as good as the last keeper, she'll hopefully... What are you laughing at?
I just wondered how that was getting shoehorned in.
She'll hopefully stay injury-free and help the side out in the second half of the season. Also signed this week was striker Megan Robb. Megan is no stranger to the club, having previously played for the club from 2016 until 2018, helping United win their first ever trophies in their first season. Since then, the 23-year-old most notably enjoyed a successful 3-year period at Dryburgh, where she scored the winning goal to secure the 2021 SWF Championship Cup. She joins on loan from Partick. As a side note to this weekend's Scottish Cup tie, a good friend of mine's and a podcast listener, Derek Mortimer, will be in attendance at the match as his daughter Erin plays for Dice Women. I'd like to wish her all the best in the match, Rondo. And I'm saying nothing about who I hope wins.
You never tell us what you got for Christmas.
What I got for my Fiona gave me a match worn top. So I now that it's out there, she might get billed. I don't know if she dobbied it or no, or if it's meant to be on some matchworn.com website. I'm not really sure, but yes, I got it. I got the lovely pink number 35 top.
Was it washed?
I couldn't care less if it was washed. It's my sister. It's all good.
Well. Okay.
She'll not smell any worse than me.
It's true. Our A to Z of Dundee United is finishing up this week, actually. Brian Welsh took W against Andy Webster. We've been through some amount of players. You will get to vote on Tuesday for the final one. There's nothing in X. Have you got anybody notable you want to mention and why?
No.
Because we never seen MDNY, but Ron Yates.
Well, of course, yeah.
118 appearances for United, which is blooming amazing. I mean, that was back in 1957, so certainly I never seen him.
No, neither did I. So granddad might have.
So we kind of have to kind of just jump over why, because we never seen any of them. Brings us to Zed, Paul. Now, there are only four players in Zed, and I will hand it over to you.
Well,
to tell us what's going on in Zed.
I feel like a bit of a dick for giving any of them a dishonourable, but Lewis Zvick, he has to get a dishonourable just because he was part of that team that got relegated. And he wasn't the best. He wasn't ready. There's also Matty Zata. He only played two games. I'm just going to say his name because it begins with a Z.
Yep.
I can kind of vaguely remember him, but I can't mind if he was good or bad. You said that you've been doing a wee bit of detective work and he now works.
Well, I just wanted to find out what he was doing now, if he was still playing. And he's got a job and
he's a civilian.
I think he's still playing the juniors or maybe like a Trinent or something. I can't quite remember, but I think he's certainly still playing.
Well, he's not bound for the Hall of Fame then?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that only leaves two players then, basically, Rondo, to go head to head in this week's A to Z. Lars Zetterlund, part of the Scandinavian, Scandinavian invasion of the mid to late 90s. And I always felt that Zetterlund, Big Larzo to his pals, and I've got a pal called Big Larzo actually, he was often underrated by the fans. For me though, it was $100,000 well spent when Tommy McLean signed him in 1996. Even if Big Larzo played against us in the UEFA Cup final back in 1987. And he's up against Lukas Zaluska. Decent keeper for us. Thought he was Archie and buggered off to an airstreak to earn copious amounts of dosh for sitting in a dugout for about 6 years.
It's like somebody else were kidding. He's not even sitting in the dugout.
Yeah, and then our podcast pals allegedly put him on his arse. So I think we all know who's going to win this one. I'd be surprised if it's no the boy, Faye. Scandinavia.
Mm. What part of Scandinavia is he for?
Skanda.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's like the check. So yeah, Tuesday over on Twitter, you can vote for that for the final one. And then next week, if I do remember, we will rattle through the whole list of who has made it to our A to Z, given we have missed a couple along the way. But anyway. So in 2 weeks' time, we mentioned at the top of the show, our mid-season review will be recorded live at Clarkson Lindsay Street from 2 o'clock. Thank you very much to everyone who's bought tickets for that. A reminder, it is a mix of seating and standard. Doors open at 1:30, and all the profits will be shared between Fan Support and Food Banks Dundee and the Dundee United display team. You can join the waiting list for tickets. There is literally a handful of tickets still to go on sale. You can join the waiting list on Skiddle via our website, dodefoxpodcast.com. The raffle is coming together. We've got some signed Dundee United bits, got a couple of signed prints, some Dode Fox goodies, and a couple of other prizes from some local companies that have offered them up as well. So it should be fun. Don't quote me on this, but I'm going to say a raffle ticket's £2. So you're as well, Ben Fev.
I would agree.
Yeah. I think so.
It's all for a good cause. It's not going into your pocket. Not going anywhere near my pocket. It's all going to the food banks and the fan display team.
Indeed. So you do that. And of course, for those there on the day, you can take part in a Q&A with our new podcast pal, Callum Morris, as well. Our on this day for today only features one game, nothing else. 8th of January is the focus. And United had this game more or less won in the opening quarter of an hour. Hearts were the visitors to Tannadice in 1994. Scott Crabb latched on to Walker's poor clearance, hit a stunning 25-yard shot into the top right-hand corner, gave us a third-minute lead. Brian Welsh floated a ball in the box. It fell to podcast pal Paddy Conley. He made it 2-0. And our fine start to 1994 was completed quarter of an hour from the end when Craig Brewster converted a Morris Malpass cross from close in to equal the Maroons' heaviest ever league defeat at Tannadice on Premier Business. 3-0 winners, and 4 out of the 5 players that I mentioned are our podcast pals.
So we need to get Scott Crabb on.
Need to try and find Scott Crabb first.
Scott Crabb, yeah. He'll be hanging about Tynecastle somewhere. I can't, he's a big jumbo, is he?
or still reading the
dirty magazines that were left at the bottom of his hospital bed. Yeah, that's why we need to get him on. See if he still got them.
See if he read them. What else is there today, he says. But yeah, so it's a bit of a mixed week for United so far. Mm. A win and a horrible, horrible defeat, which means there's only one for it. Thank God we've got a short trip of the A9 on Friday night as we look to get back to winning ways. How do you think we'll get on? We're at Don Fox Podcast on social media. Do, of course, check out the website, donfoxpodcast.com. Have a great week. Stay safe. And don't forget, it's the new year. You've got to be washing your hands and your arsehole.